Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
God bless you all. God bless you all. God bless you all. We're so grateful that you would join us today. I'm Apostle McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Appears that we started and lost our feed, but we're back. Amen. See, we can go ahead and get into this word and go on moving forward. Amen. Before we go any further, I want Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and lead us in our announcements and our prayer for this morning. Prophetess.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Quickly, in the way of announcements, every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite each and every one of you to visit us there. Pray about becoming a vision partner and even a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Also want to let you know that we have Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. We invite you to like us there. Leave your prayer requests and your praise reports as well. Someone is touching and agreeing with you and believing that God is going to do everything according to His will in your life. Amen. Amen. Those are the quick announcements. Amen. We want to get right into this word, but let us pray, and then we can hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for a new day, new life, new vision, new strength. Amen. New outlook. We thank you, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as we, your people, come, we bow ourselves before you, humbling mightily before your hand. Father, we ask right now for forgiveness in our lives. Wash us clean in your blood. Forgive us for every sin of omission and commission, Father. Purify our hearts, our minds, our hands as we uplift it. God, as we just begin to say thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, that our praise, our worship becomes a sweet incense unto your nostrils. Father, as we come, as the man of God comes this morning, God, as you grace him with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, as he begins to minister your word this morning, God, your people that are here, open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. Father, as we ask that this word will begin to strengthen our bones, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our spirit, strengthen our hands, that we may continue the work that you have ordained for us to do in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the manifestation that you're doing, the works that you are moving in, God, in the lives of your people. We give your name all praise, glory, and honor. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're grateful for everything that God is doing and everything that he is saying to us. We are away from the studio this morning, amen, away from location, so we're on remote this morning, out of town, and of course, you know, as you are away, things happen, amen. I was waiting on the music to start this morning and heard nothing, and then noticed that the Wi-Fi, if you will, had dropped. So we just know that God is good. Whenever there's a work that God gives us to do, you can always see that the enemy will try his best to find a way to try to come in and distract. But God is good, and we are going on in the name of the Lord. Amen. This morning, I want to get back to some word that we were dealing with in Nehemiah, amen, the second chapter, amen. And for those of you who came out to the Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference, thank you. Yeah. For those of you who could make it, you know, wow. I don't want to say you missed it, but wow, you missed it. I wish you could have been there. Amen. Looking at some of the video and some of the other things from it, it was such a powerful, mighty move of God. We're excited that God chose us, you know, and chose to use us for this. So we're grateful to the Lord. Amen. This morning, as we go back into this word and we begin to look at Nehemiah, that was the scripture where prophetess was coming out of, Nehemiah 2:17. I want to pick it up at the 18th verse. Amen. And move from there. And just for sake of making sure we have a context, we'll read it from the 17th verse. Amen. And it says, New King James Version, and then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in,
yes,
how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall, Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Now, we already understand from this, amen. And of course, the emphasis for this morning, we're going to be looking at the 18th verse, amen, where he says, and I told them of the hand of my God, which hath been good upon me, amen, and also the king's words that he hath spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Notice that at this point we have Nehemiah, who's come back to Jerusalem, and as he's come back, he didn't set himself as the separatist in what was going on. He said, let us, and what has happened to us, and we are reproach, you know. And too often what happens is God gives us a work to do, and people try to set themselves as something separate from it, as if this is you but not me. that's on what you're doing, but that's not on what I'm doing. I know me. I know what I'm going to do and where I'm going. And God wants us to understand that it's not always about your personal agenda. Yes. You know, when he called us to work, he called us to the work. Amen. Which means that we have to be about our Father's business. I've shared with you several times, Ephesians 1:6, that we are to be to the praise of his glory. Jesus spoke of it often. He said that it brings glory to the Father. Now, if you and I are going to do the work that God gave us to do, then we can't be focused on the kingdom of I, what I'm doing, what I'm trying to get people to see. We have to see and understand that God is trying to get the glory, and he will, out of our lives. We need to make sure that he is the one getting the glory and not necessarily that we are getting the glory. Amen. Any glory that comes is not due us. It's due him. Amen. And when you have that mindset, you have that mentality, then you can focus on the purpose, the plan, the will of God in any situation, because you won't be looking at it from what you can do or what you're trying to accomplish. You're looking at it as something that he is doing and what he is accomplishing. Remember, you are a representation or the representative of Christ in the earth. Amen. That means that as you are out representing him, remember, even though you are the one standing there, you're not representing yourself. You're representing the kingdom of God. Amen? So our behavior, our mindsets, and everything else should be towards giving God the glory. And when there is something within the body that brings a reproach or causes a problem, it's not them causing a reproach. We look bad. Amen? So when we go out and this is the body and the kingdom, then the kingdom, when it's not looking right, you know, I can't say, well, that's just you and y'all over there. I have to be realistic that we don't look good. When the world looks at us, they don't look at us as my church or your church. They look at us as saints and Christians. Christianity as a whole looks bad when we have people out showing flesh off and doing other things, amen. There's enough preachers right now and men and women of God who are speaking against the show that's on right now that brings such a reproach against the body of Christ. They say, well, we're just trying to show people that we're human too. Well, listen, we all know that we're human, amen. But when you become saved, when you become a man or woman of God, there's a standard that has to be carried, amen. Huh? Jesus said, when your enemy comes against you, you know, bless them, amen. He let us know that, you know, if they smote you in your left cheek, turn and offer them your right. You know, the thing is that the way that you respond is not according to how you feel, but according to the word of God. And when you are supposed to be one who has matured in the things of God, then we shouldn't see your flesh on parade talking about how human you are. Amen. See, those are the things that we're trying to overcome, your flesh being on parade, amen, because God does not, he's not glorified in your flesh, amen. The Bible lets us know very clearly, he says this, and I want you to understand that in your weakness, huh, his strength or his love or his ability is made strong. That means when we get past your flaws, your shortcomings, when we get past you, we see the strength of him. So when we start dealing with, well, you know, I'm weak in this area, and God got to help me, he's trying to help you when you get out the way. Amen? But let him do his work. Amen? So here we have Nehemiah speaking these words. He said, you know, we're reproaching. What's going on here is not right, but God's hand has been upon me. Amen? And that's what I want to look at here, because a lot of things that are going to happen and have happened are not happening because you were so wonderful and it just came to pass because you were able to do it. The resources, the finances, all those things are not in place, amen. And I want you to know something else, and I'll say it here just to remind you, and that is that the grace of God upon your life, the anointing that he's placed upon you, will never show up just to show off. Whenever it comes for a purpose, amen. So when the grace of God, amen, when the anointing comes, amen, when there's a demonstration of the power of God, it's never for your benefit, it's always for his benefit, amen. Even though you may be a benefactor in the fact that it showed up, it did not come just for you. It came for the work that had to be done, amen. So when he uses you for healing, he uses you to share a word or to say something to somebody that changes their life. It was never about how deep and wonderful you were, amen. It was always about who he is, amen. Y'all have to see this because some people have lost their focus because the Lord used them at a point or time, and they thought that because they spoke the word and they saw it come to pass, they laid their hands and they saw manifestation of healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, then they're walking around, what did I do? What happened when I laid my hands? When I spoke into your life, what occurred? Wait a minute, hold on. The self-same spirit worked through you. You don't have the ability to speak accurately. You don't have a miracle that you can perform. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we need to go back to Moses. Moses is in the wilderness, amen. And while he's there, he's given an assignment. And while he's being given this assignment, he's told a few things, amen. First of all, he's told, you know, you're going to go to Pharaoh, and this is what you're going to do. And while he's there to go deal with Pharaoh, amen, he tells him, listen, I'm going to give you a couple of things that you will be able to do. Let's go on over there to Exodus, the third chapter. I think we want to read this here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love it when he starts speaking. Exodus, the third chapter. Just go on up to the first verse. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Second verse, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And I was sharing with one of our spiritual daughters. I said, listen, you have to understand that God will cause a theophany to happen in your life, a miracle, a sign, amen, a spectacle to occur just so he can get your attention. Don't pay attention so much to the spectacle as the moment of time, because at this point, Moses now is about to receive life-changing, life-altering, life-validating instruction from God. Amen. So here he is. He's there. He goes to the bush to see why it's not burning up, yet it's on fire. Amen. And when he turned around, so when the Lord saw that he turned, boy, this is a priest right there.
Yeah.
So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. The spectacle, the thing that you're going through, that little, I don't want anybody to see me, but all eyes are on me right now. Yes, yes. In the midst of that, that's when the Lord can clearly speak to you, because now you're so overwhelmed by what's happening that you don't have time to place an argument. You don't have time to formulate a rebuttal. It is at that point that he can clearly speak into your life, speak into your heart. He can speak into your spirit and change your destiny. reasoning. If you're wise enough not to try to refute what God is saying and hear what he's saying, your life from this point on will be changed. Amen? So he called to him, amen, from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Amen? So not only is there a call, there is a response. Response to the call. Many are called, few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Because few respond to the call. Amen. So when he said that, he told him, do not draw near to this place, but take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord. I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So it is many times when God begins to reveal himself to us and he begins to speak into our lives, we try to find a place to hide. We try to act like y'all can't see. Amen. There's something my wife and I always say, you know we can see you. Amen. And when we say we know we can, you know we can see you, we're not saying, you know, we're so spiritually, you know, adept at looking past things to see. It's just that the Spirit of God, we form that relationship where he can show us things without us trying to show or say everything that we see. Amen. It is a maturity thing. Amen. A child tells everything, but grown-ups know what to disseminate and what to keep. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So it's a maturity thing. Amen. So he can show us what we need to see so we know how to minister more effectively. Amen. So you can hide as much as you want, but when God is revealing, the Spirit of truth will shine a light upon you that you can't quench. Amen. So Lord says here in the seventh verse, he said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. In other words, he didn't come to tell you how rich you were going to be and how wonderful you were going to be. He's here to give you an assignment, that assignment that is going to lead to someone's deliverance. Amen. And notice here, he didn't say, I'm going to send you to go deliver your family. He said, the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of the taskmaster. That means when God sends you, he sends you as a deliverer to deliver his people. He sends you on an assignment so that you can do what needs to be done in order to bring somebody out of the bondage and the impression or oppression that they're in. Amen? Huh? Some people are in depression, amen, and he sends you to lift up the heads, amen, not go over and become part of the pity party, but to go over there and kick the door in on that kid, on that pity party and shut the party down, amen. You have to understand that every assignment that he gives you has greater ramification and scope than just you, amen. You're a tool to do a bigger work, amen. So he goes on and he begins to give him his assignment and tell him what he needs to do. And instantly, Moses begins to question the validity of God's vision for his life. The 11th verse, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And that's something that we have to be very careful of. Before God called you for the assignment, God knew your qualifications for the assignment. He didn't call you outside of your scope, amen, outside of your skill set. Anything that you need to have, God has already given it to you. Now you need to trust in God's vision for your life and walk out the assignment. And whatever you need will be developed in you as you go. Amen? So he begins to question that. And he goes on and tells him, I will certainly be with you, and shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Amen? He gave them everything, and he began, to go into all the questions, and who should I say, and how would they know, and, you know, and I don't understand, but this is something that I want you to see, amen. He gave him assignment and told him what was going to happen here in this third verse. He told him how to ask, you know, what to do, and how it shall come to pass, and gave him it to the end. And even as we go back and different chapters of each Exodus, we'll see how everything played out according to how God said it, even to the plundering of Egypt. In other words, God will tell you the end at the beginning and cause you to walk through it. Amen. The problem is that when God begins to tell us some of these things, we don't want to hear it. It doesn't fit what we like. You know, why should I go through it? Why can't you just cause them to cover and give it to me and let me have it then? Why do I have to go through processing? Why do I have to be one who has to matriculate, if you will? Why do I have to mature? Can't you just give me my stuff and let me go on and say you gave it to me while I'm enjoying the rest of my life? Listen, you're going to enjoy your life when you're fulfilling the assignment God gave you to fulfill. Amen. You see, your completion, amen, the joy, the thing that causes your heart to leap is when you are doing what God gave you to do. You'll see singers, musicians, artists, those who are doing different things. When they are in their vein, you can see the joy and the satisfaction. You'll see the contentment, amen, in their lives, amen. And where other people need all this extra materialistic type stuff, you'll see that they're satisfied with just a guitar and a pen and a piece of paper, writing songs and singing and just enjoying themselves. And people say, you know, you can make a lot of money doing this. They're like, yeah. Well, you know, I like what I'm doing. In other words, it's the simplistic fulfillment of a purpose in my life that I'm so content with. That even though I can do all that other stuff and become capitalistic with it, I don't want to mess up what I'm doing. Well, capitalism, you see that? I don't want to mess up doing what I'm doing by trying to find a way to make the money, amen? So they stick with the simple life. I'm content with what they're doing. And some people right now, some of you who hear this broadcast will have to really say in your introspection that there are some things that God has given you that you started out enjoying, but you let people talk you into how to make it grander, better, and you left simplicity for fulfillment in other areas, and you ended up not being fulfilled at all. Now it becomes a task to you. Notice when the children of Israel went into Egypt, they didn't go in to become slaves, indentured servants. You see that? They went in because there was food in the land. And because Joseph had favor with Pharaoh, they were given a place to stay while they were there, being satisfied by the food and the plentifulness of the land. But they got comfortable in there. See? And some of you right now are getting real comfortable on some stuff that God never designed for you to be in long term. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. Amen. Hallelujah. So here Moses is given the assignment to go out. Amen.
Yes.
So the fourth chapter here, he gives him a series of things to show them, to let them know that this is indeed God doing this. Amen. Miracle signs and wonders come from God to prove to unbelievers that God is involved in it and validate his reality. Amen. Miracle signs and wonders are things that baffle those who sit back and try to figure out. They're still looking for strings and for trap doors and for switcheroos and sleights of hand. But a miracle simply is a miracle. How can you go to the doctor with x-rays and all kind of tests that they do and find out that something is supposed to be there? The man, the woman of God pray, the saints get to pray, and we lay hands according to the word of God, anointing you with oil, and God heals you and raise you up. Go back to the doctor. The doctor says, let's do one more test before we go in to cut and get rid of this. And they go in and they can't find nothing. And they say, wait a minute, hold on. Let's go. Don't put them under just yet. Wait a minute, hold on. Right. Call the other doctors and where's my team at? Huh? When they begin to call the team, huh? When they begin to look, amen. the first thing they find out is that what they saw before is not there on the same person, amen? And they know that it was there because she went for a second opinion, and both of them came back, yes, this is what it is. See, bells are the things that baffle people's scientific minds, amen? The doctors can't figure it out, huh? The analysts can't figure it out. And we're sitting back all the time telling them that this was Jesus. This was the power of God in the earth. This was the kingdom of God demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God, the authority of the kingdom of God, miracle signs and wonders occurring, and they're still trying to find a scientific way to prove or disprove it. At the end of it, they have to come down to, well, I just don't know what happened. I know something happened here, but we don't know how to explain it. It's because man has said in his heart that there is no God. And when you say there's no God, it's the foolish things that he used to confound the wise. Amen? So here, Exodus, the fourth chapter, we see that Moses is given a number of things. Then Moses answered for one and says, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. The second verse, so the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. I wish I had time to take this part. Woo, Jesus. Sometimes it is the beating whom the Lord loves, he chases. And when he sends a word to you, you won't believe. The first thing that comes is the rod. Amen. Huh? And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. You see this? First thing that happened at the miracle of God, at the sign that God is doing this, is that he became fearful of what was going on. But God gave him authority over it, amen, and told him. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. In other words, don't approach it head on. You see that? But capture it from behind. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That you may marvel that they may be believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. I said miracle signs and wonders are for those who are unbelievers, but they're also for us to validate that what you're seeing and hearing is God. Amen. Furthermore, sixth verse, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Amen. Put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out from of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like the other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed your message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. In other words, God didn't just speak to you once. God is sending confirmation upon confirmation to make sure that you understand and you believe. I believe in the situation that I went in. He sent the word once. He sent the word twice. He sent the word three times, amen, before we even went into it, amen. Nebraska, Toledo, Pittsburgh. Amen. See, God knows what we're about to go into, and he sends confirmation after the word. Amen. So then, if they do not believe nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the second, of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe these two signs, listen to your verse, your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the land. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Listen, I want to just say this to you. When God speaks to you, stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. God, when he called you, when he reveals his plan and his purpose for your life, has already known what you could have. I said it before. He knows your skill set. He knows your ability. Amen. What we try to do is we try to get God to change his mind. We think that God is like our friends or someone that we know, so we try to barter with him. We try to negotiate with him the terms of our assignment. And when God came to you, these terms are non-negotiable. Amen. Somebody need to get that in their heart and in their mind. God is not going to switch it or change it because you have an issue with what he called you to do. Amen. And simply put, grow up, get down the road doing what God told you to do. Amen. Because you're going to miss the benefit of your obedience more than your than anything else. Amen. You don't want to miss it at the end. Amen. Now, let's go back to where we were. Because I want you to understand that when we're talking about all of this, amen, Moses is given signs and things to show that he is one that God has called to do the work, amen. The second thing I want you to see about Moses is that this is not in the prime of his life. Moses has 40 years living as a prince. He has 40 years living on the backside of the wilderness. So at this point, he's about to go into the 40 years of hard-headed living with some stiff-necked folk. Amen. 80 years old, 76 to 80 years old is where he is at this point that I'm talking about. God is using him now. Now, you have to understand that back when he was younger, he knew that God was going to use him to deliver his people, but he still had his mind. You see, so it's having his mind cause him his heartache because he was trying to do it his way instead of God's way. And that means that when God called you, he let you know where you're going to end up. But now let God do it his way so that you can get down the road. Wouldn't it be sad for you to know that God called you to do something and at the age of 60 finally get around to starting on a path to it? Your strength, your energy's gone. Your body's not as limber or strong as it was before. Now you got to try to make a way. Amen. You got to try to get down the road and your back don't feel as it used to feel. Your knees are a little tight. Your ankles ain't as strong. You understand? See, if you do it while you're young, then you can enjoy the fruits of your labor earlier. Amen. And some people are out there doing it and living it and going on, and you talking about, well, you know, look at them. Well, if God gives you 5, and I think Prophetess said this, she said, if God gives you 10, if God gives you 15, be faithful to the 5, the 10, the 15, amen? I don't care if they got 500, 1,500, whatever it is, 5,000, 20,000, it doesn't make a difference. Be faithful over the flock that God gives you. Amen. God knows what you can handle. And maybe you're looking at that big number, but you can't handle the few you got. God can't give you the big number because you ain't ready for them. Amen. You start taking care of what God has given you, then God can increase you without it becoming a reproach to him. Amen. God knows exactly what he's doing at all times. Now, why am I saying that? Because sometimes we have these visions of grandeur where we need to go and what we need to be doing. Amen. And these are things that God may not have said to us. Amen. Nehemiah coming from the king's palace has seen grandeur. He's in splendor. He's lived amongst, you know, the great things. Amen. Because the king wasn't living in a little mud hut. He was living in a palace, huh? And those who served him lived in light surroundings, amen? So they wasn't living back over in a little piece of cardboard box. They was living, you know, as one of the king's officials. They were raised to that level, even in servitude, to make sure that everyone knew that those who served the king lived at a certain level, and the king lived above that level. Amen. so that no one came in common amongst him. See. So when Nehemiah begins to speak to these people, he's seen some things. But even with that, he doesn't attribute it to the king. 18th verse, and I told them of the hand of my God, which hath been good upon me.
Yes.
Even in my downtime, even in my time of servitude, even in my time of indentured slavery or service, God has still kept me. While I was the king's cupbearer, I could have swallowed poison that would have taken me out before the king even went anywhere. But God kept me there in that. My family was sustained then. My life was preserved. And doing all of this, good to me. He's talking about the favor of the Lord upon him. Amen. So when we see this word good here, amen, we see it means pleasant or joyful, agreeable. You understand? So the hand of the Lord hath been pleasant to me, agreeable to me. Amen? You see that? Huh? He satisfies me. Ooh, I wish I could go somewhere with this. Amen. But you have to understand this favor that's upon him was from God. Even living in the king's house, it wasn't the king's. It was God's favor upon him. And let me show you the other side of that, which happened good to me, and also the king's words that happened spoken to me. Because of the favor of God that's upon me, he caused those in authority around me to speak favorable to me. Amen. Matthew, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, you don't have to run after the things and run after the favor and run after the influence. God will cause, while you focus on him, he'll cause you to have the influence. He'll cause you to have the favor. He'll cause you to get the things. Amen. So while you're looking to him to see what his assignment is and fulfilling that, then God will call those who have the ability, the resources, and the influence to come to you to make sure it gets done. Amen? So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. So my testimony then has to be God called me to do a great work. The work, I know it's God's hand upon it because it's greater than my ability to accomplish it myself. Amen. Huh? And when we look at the fact that it's greater than my ability, then we know that God has really smiled upon me and has given me the ability to do it. One thing that we look at is when God calls us to do something and he shows us, gives us a glimpse into what it shall be, sometimes we're ready to run down to the end of it and have that happen right now. But you got to understand, a seed has to take time to grow. And part of the seed growing is it dying in the ground. Amen? And when it dies, it comes back to life greater than it was. It produces multiples of itself. Amen. Some of you have been trying to stay alive when God has been trying to get you to die out. The part that dies out is what you think your existence is today, so that tomorrow your existence will be producing what you were yesterday. Amen. And not staying it for your tomorrow. Amen. God knows how to do what he's doing. Let him do the work. Amen. Zechariah 4:9. We're going to read down through the 10th verse. It says, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. In other words, God has given you not only the plan, God has given you the ability to set the foundation of it, and he's not going to take the work out of your hand. You shall complete what God has given you to do. Amen? The vision comes at the very beginning. Write the vision, make it plain that they that read it may run with it. Amen? The vision is not yet for appointed time, but it shall come to pass. Amen. As it comes to pass, it's going to be there. And when it begins to come to pass, it's not going to wait. It shall not tarry, but it shall come to pass. Amen. Understand that the word that is spoken here into your life at the very beginning of what God wants you to do, as you walk the path of your assignment, you'll come into fulfillment, you'll come into training, you'll come into instruction that will empower you. When you get to the end result, you'll be fully able to stand there without causing a reproach upon the kingdom of God. You understand? So have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands have also shall also finish it. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Amen. We're back to assignments. You see this? How do we know that you're sent by God? What work are you doing? Is it building the kingdom of I? Is it building a name unto yourself? Is it building a monument for you? If any of those things are true, then this is God doing. I know you want to believe it is because God allowed me to, you know, get this building and I'm about to go here and do this. And, you know, everybody else been trying to, but, you know, it's me and I have a vision and everything else. And people come to you because you got a good game. You have the ability to run off at the mouth. Amen. It has nothing to do with whether or not this is really God. It just has to do with whether or not you went to business school. You understand? So here you are going out trying to prove to people that you the one, and God never called you. Huh? But when God does it, then God proves his work. Amen. We don't need your charisma, in other words, in order for God's will to be done. God will call some people who were not to come in and embarrass people who were. Oh, it's in the word. Amen. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. 10 verse. For who has despised the day of small things?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, look, listen to this. For these 7 rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. And what are these 7? They are the eyes of the Lord, was scanned to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God spoke the word and he watches over it to see it perform. You see that? But too often we think that God spoke a word and because he spoke it and you can't hardly see it, you think that eyes are off of it. But I want you to know that his eyes are still upon it. Oh God, help us today. And see, the 7 candlesticks and all of that, that's at the very beginning. Amen. The 7 lampstands, the solid gold, lampstands of gold with a bowl on it, and on the stands, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. You know, all of these are testimonies of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in their position coming together or being together in unity towards one goal. Amen. So we know that these are the things of God. This for who has despised the day of small things, we have to really look at that and see it for what it is, because people think that if this is God, then why is it taking so long to take off? A lot of times it's because we still have fleshly, amen, things that we're looking at. We think that in order for this to be God, then it should be on a level of what we consider to be great, grand, and wonderful. God ain't thinking about your great. He ain't caring about your grand, and your wonderful really is so wonderful in his sight. Amen. So what he does is he makes sure that as he strips things down and causes things to come together, he's going to get all the glory out of it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Huh? So when we see this, then we see that God is being pleased, or he is pleased by what we're doing. Amen. He's going to get the amen, and we're going to give him all the glory. Amen. What does it say here? Let's look at it in a new century version. Amen. It says the people should not think that small beginnings are unimportant. They will be happy when they see Zerubbabel with tools building the temple. You see that? We were walking around and, well, they ain't got it like, well, they going, you know, what's the thing started and within a few, within a year, they have triple, quadruple their membership. And they started with about 75. They really doing it big, are they? Okay. Let's get past marketing and see what God is saying. Amen. Let's look at this. A Message Bible. Does anyone dare despise this day of small beginning? They'll change their tune when they see Zerubbabel setting the last stones. Notice that they'll change the tune when they see him setting the last stone. Amen. Because that last stone that we talk about here is the one that finishes the work. Amen.
First shall be last.
And last shall be first. Amen. And so it is. So let's look at this. Let's understand it, that God is doing some things and God has called us to some things, amen, that will help us to be more focused on this work. Amen. When he says, let's rise up and build, the Bible says that they had to have a plan, or it lets us know that there had to be a plan in place. Amen. And there had to be marching orders. Amen. And then they had to listen to this. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Amen. Understand here that this, they set their hands to do this good work, is very important for us as we look at this, because you cannot set, you cannot do a work until you strengthen your hands. See, we call out to people and say, God saying, let's do this. They're like, oh, yeah, we're with you, man and woman of God. We can see this. Oh, yes, this is God. Hallelujah. Yes, this is God. Hallelujah. Until it comes down to you putting your hands to the plow.
Right.
And then the excuses come. Well, you know, it's a little bit more involved than, you know, what I thought it's going to be at the very beginning. The Bible lets us know that no man begins to build a house unless he consults the cost. You got to count the cost up. Amen. You got to know what this is going to cost. We, in some of the things that I do, there's a organization that I'm with and I'm actually the president of. And as I sit upon that and deal with some of the things, one of the people came and said, well, we want to do this, we want to do that, and we want to do the other. And I always stopped them and I said, that's wonderful. Have you researched to find out what the cost of commitment will be here? On our website, we asked you about being a vision partner. What is the cost to be a vision partner? It means that as the Lord lays us upon your heart, then sow a seed to help us continue going forward. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. We need your prayer, but we also need, you know, your financial support. Certain things that we're doing, Women of Prophetic Destiny, going across seas, helping buy Bibles and software and other things that they need. We buy it here and they receive it there. That stuff has to go. Sometimes people think that they can just bring over what we need and, you know, right, just give it to them. Well, I gave it to you, but you don't understand that the cost of shipping may be more than the cost of what you just gave. So it costs money for us to do some of the work that has to be done overseas. Amen. But we're still here in it to do it. Amen. So when we get this, it's not just they said, let us rise up and build. The Bible testifies that they set their hands to do this good work. They strengthen themselves to be able to do it. Amen. Amen. And as we begin to see this and continue going on in this, amen, we're going to see that there's some things that God has given us. This is something that we can apply to our today, amen, knowing that it will bless us immensely as we look at what God has called us to do. My brother and my sister, God wants us to have the very best, do the very best, be the very best, but we can't do so if we're so focused on our today that we're not thinking about his will, his plan, his purpose tomorrow. What will you say when you meet the Lord face to face? I remember this song that we used to always sing, what do you want the Lord to say? You know, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And some people say, you know, I want the joy of the Lord today. And, you know, we'll roll the dice later on. If you give it to me today, then I know he's pleased, so I'm okay. And there's that trick of the enemy that he's used to get you off focus. You running around thinking that God's pleased because you got some stuff. And all that was the enemy trying to get you tripped up. Yes. Huh? So when it comes down to doing the work, you don't want to deal with nobody because they're beneath you. But guess what? Those are the people that God sent you to. And if he gave you anything, it's to help bring them up to where you are so he can lift you up higher. Some of you have gotten a blessing, and that's all you're going to get because you forgot what it was really about. I'm praying for you. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to get our focus back, get back to what we're supposed to do, focus on our assignment, Lord, focus on what you called us to do. Now, Lord, miracle signs and wonders come so that we will know that this is you. Miracle signs and wonders come so that those who are unbelievers will come into a believing situation, make the decision to follow you. Help them now, Lord, to make the proper decision. Lord, even now, if someone is listening under the sound of my voice that is not saved, and they want to be saved, Lord, I pray they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the name of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Lord, I pray if they prayed that prayer, that you would lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church so that they may be developed and matured and go on to do their assignment you created them for. Lord, I pray for miracle signs and wonders to manifest. I pray for finances, for resources to be released throughout the body of Christ. I pray for our leadership. I pray for those who are in power, Lord, that they will come together and do those things that will cause us to live peaceful lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you will become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. So much that we have to do, so many requests for support, and we want to honor them, but we need your help to do so. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.